Hello guys, and welcome back to It's a Book Thing. I am your host, Michaela, and if the audio here sounds different, let me just tell you it is because I'm in my car. Now, I'm in my car because my sister needed to have her room back because my sister is with her boyfriend. They're not doing sex things. It's her room. It's not my room. So I'm not going to steal her room so I can finish doing a podcast episode. But I did need to do this episode quickly because I had already started it. So, yeah. Okay, I'm not going to say a whole bunch of stuff because I literally just filmed the Take the Key and Lock Her Up. And so, you know, all my life updates were in that one. Right now, I'm just recording a bunch of episodes so then I can edit them and have them all edit before I go back to college, which I go back to college on January 21st. So hopefully I'll have a lot of episodes filmed and ready to go by then. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, just so that, you know, I don't feel like I have to rush to read a book and I can still savor it like I like to savor books and whatnot. So, but this is just so that, you know, I can put some talks out in a weekly schedule. You know, hopefully I'm wanting to put them out on like Saturdays. So hopefully I get that all figured out. But yeah, no, that's all for my life updates. And with that said, I'm going to start talking about our new book series that I am discussing, which is called The Lunar Chronicle series by Marissa Myers. And today I am talking about the first book in the series called Cinder. Now, if you know nothing about this series, it's fairy tales retold with a new twist, with science fiction twist. I love books and concepts like these. I think they're so fantastic and they're so interesting to see how someone took a story and just rewrote it, made it their own. It still has like the same kind of basic ideas, but it's completely different. And I love that. Because basically when I was reading this book, I did not feel like it was like watching, it didn't feel like I was watching like another Cinderella story, because everyone wants to make another Cinderella story. It did not feel like I was reading another Cinderella story, if that makes sense. So my score for this book is gonna be a 5 out of 5. I loved it so much. So I'm just gonna get straight into the book talk. I'm starting straight off the back with a bunch of spoilers. So seriously, if you have not read this book, I would highly recommend leaving and like getting out of here immediately. Let's see. The first thing I think I'm gonna talk about, I'm just gonna go straight from the beginning with Cinder and Kai's first meeting. Now, I did go back and check in the book, and they met within the first 4 pages, which I feel like we never get a love interest introduced that quickly. And I loved their first meeting so much. And I liked how, you know, obviously Cinder thought he was cute. So it didn't feel like Cinder was going to be like, oh yeah, I'm not one of those girls. Like, I mean, around her sisters, yeah, she is. She tries to make him not a big deal. She tries to seem like she's over all that superficialness. But I think that she acts that way around, you know, her family and her sisters and stuff so that they don't have more ammunition to tease her with. Now, I get, like, that doesn't make full sense with Peony. I think that's how you say her name. It doesn't make complete sense with Peony or Aiko, but at the same time, Cinder knows what needs to be done. You know, she knows that she has a job to do and she's just got to do it, and she can't let stupid boys, you know, distract her and whatnot. But I did love that in their first meeting, like, she obviously thought he was cute, and you could tell that she thought she was cute, or that she thought he was cute, and she was like hiding her cyborg hand, which made me so sad. But it was just, you could just tell that they liked each other. And then the whole part where he was all like, I don't want to say that he is misogynistic in any way. That's not what I'm saying. But whenever he goes and he meets her for the first time and he's like, I'm looking for a Lynn Cinder. Do you know where he is? And she's like, yeah, that's me. And he's like, you're the renowned mechanic. So like, I don't want to say he was misogynistic. I just want to say that ooh, he had some sexist ideas. If that makes sense, you know, like whenever like in your brain, you're like, oh yeah, he, and then someone's like, no, it's a she, and you're like, dude, like sexism in my head, you know, if that makes sense. Like, you think sometimes in a sexist way, like, you know, like we've been trained to believe that like engineers are men and teachers are women and stuff like that. And that's just how we think about it in our head. But obviously, like, that's not true. That's kind of how I felt like that whole situation went down. But anyways, then he gives her Nancy and she's like, do you know what's wrong with it? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, it's an older model. He's like, well, it has sentimental value. And, you know, Cinder kind of like sees through his BS, because originally he's like, oh yeah, there's like top secret information on it. And he's like, just kidding. It's sentimental value. And like her orange light goes off, which honestly, I wish that I had that in my life. If I could tell when people were lying to me, I'd be so happy. And then, like, she doesn't, like, really say anything about it. Like, she doesn't call him on his BS, but she's like, let me try something real quick. And she slaps Nancy upside the head. And he's like, are you sure you're Lynn Cinder, the mechanic? And she's like, yeah, you'd be surprised how often that works. And I'm like, God, I just love them. And then they're talking and it's so easy between them. And it's just a brief interaction, but every single interaction afterwards, you see how easy that is. And I think that makes sense. Like, I think that, you know, having that ease is something that Kai never really has in his life. Like, he doesn't get people who talk to him so easily that he's just met, and definitely not girls. Girls don't talk to him like that. Girls always have seen him as cute. So he never, like, gets, like, he never really gets a friend to talk to. And I get, like, he has Torin and stuff, but Torin's not really a friend. He's an advisor. So it's not like you can talk to Torin about, like, the deep things. But it's just nice that, like, he has that person. And I think that shows, like, that he was in desperate need of that with his persistence in trying to get, like, Cinder to go to the ball. Like, his persistence in seeing Cinder at the ball, or just in general, or, like, he just wants to, like, take her on a date and, like, goes to talk to her. And I just love that he wouldn't lit up on it. And I love that, you know, Cinder's like, oh, I'm just another, like, pretty face. Or not so pretty face, I'm just another girl or something like that. And he's like, no, like, you're not. Like, believe me, you're not. And I'm like, aw, guys, this is so freaking sweet. And then since we're still talking, I'm just going to talk a whole bunch about Cinder and Kai, because I just love them so much. The elevator scene, that also shows, like, just all the scenes that they have together, you can just see how comfortable they are with each other. And I just... that elevator scene specifically, whenever, you know, the elevator scene I'm talking about, whenever Cinder is going down to see Dr. Erlen, and he's like, oh, let me go with you. And she's like, okay. And then they're talking the whole time. And, you know, she's talking, like, she's like actually talking to him about, like, things that matter and whatnot. And he just wants her to go to the ball with him. And then she's like, I'm done talking about this, and leaves. And then he freaking calls her out in front of all those doctors and is like, go to the ball with me. And she's like, honestly, I think I would kind of react the same way Cinder reacted. Not like, you know, no, I would probably be very aggressive. I was about to say I'm not a confrontational person, but I'm 100% a confrontational person. So I probably would still be aggressive. But that's so annoying that he, like, called her out in front of everyone, but also, like, he called her out in front of everyone, and I'm like, boy, that's some smooth shit right there. And then he goes to, like, kiss her. He's like, I may never get to do this again, so I'm gonna kiss you. And then, you know, Cinder has a freaking attack, which, of course, that would happen. Okay, so from the talk of the attack, I'm gonna just go into the fact that this chick is a cyborg. I don't know what it is about cyborgs. Like, I don't know what it is about the science fiction, like, cyborg type things that interest me so much. I think it's just the science behind it. I think that's so freaking interesting. But her being a cyborg, I think there's a huge dilemma within the entire book, which is human versus cyborg. And what makes a cyborg not a human? And honestly, after reading this book, I still could not tell you what makes a cyborg not a human. So they have metal in them. Like, I know someone's grandpa who has a titanium hip. Does that make him less of a human? No. So she has a net screen in her head. How is that still making her less of a human? It's the same concept of having a port screen or a telephone constantly in your hand. Except now you just have it in your head. So, like, honestly, I don't get the whole why there's this actually debate. And I also don't get how legally they are considered not a human. Honestly, truthfully, after Cinder gets that, you know, hand and whatever from Dr. Erlin at the end of the book, I could see, you know, having to register your parts, like your hand or something, or your foot, or like as a weapon. Like I could get that, like, oh, I legal authorization to have a weapon. It's the same thing as having like a gun. What is it? A gun permit? I think it's called a gun permit. It's the same thing as having a gun permit. I get that part about it. I get, you know, having to like say like, oh yeah, I have these I have this hand and I have this foot and they're very dangerous. And yes, if I wanted to, I could kill someone. Yeah, I get that whole aspect, but I don't get how legally it's okay for them to like start killing off cyborgs in hopes of creating a cure. Like logistic, like, I mean, I get that Dr. Erlin did it because he was trying to find, you know, Princess Selene, and he was trying to find Princess Selene. I get that that's why he did it. I don't understand how everyone else in the entire planet was just like, you know what? That's some sound science right there. Makes sense. I'm like, does it make sense? Does it even make sense? I mean, I get that, like, you know, you can pull her body up on a screen, check where the disease is going, and see how many diseases are gone. But, like, you could just as easily do that with, like, a person. And, like, I don't know how science works in this. But, no, they could definitely, like, insert something else so that you could see it in a human as well. So the fact that this is a cyborg versus human thing, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's totally cool to just kill off some cyborgs. That makes no sense to me. So yeah, logistically and legally, that doesn't make any sense for me. And also, the volunteering process, I'm not even going to start on how up-depth that is. So, like, Cinder's still a person, right? Like, she's still a human. I guess that's what we were just debating, human versus cyborg. But it's like, she still has rights, right? Like, how is it possible that Audrey is allowed to just own Cinder? And it's like, oh yeah, you know what? Like, it's totally cool. Let's just send you off to be killed. Let's just volunteer you. And that whole thing only happened because Peony died when it wasn't even Cinder's fault that Peony died. I don't know. I still don't understand how Peony got the disease to begin with. I know that we were like, oh, I know that Cinder thought it was herself, but I don't think it was Cinder because that doesn't make any sense. Because Dr. Erlin even said, oh no, it can't last that long. So literally Peony just got it because she came to the graveyard or junkyard with them. So still, that's still Peony's fault. That's still not Cinder's fault. But that's the whole reason that she got volunteered to go die, basically. The only reason she didn't die was because she was a loner, and that's freaking crazy, I'll be honest. And that whole process of, like, us finding out that she's a loner and us finding out that she's Princess Selene and that certain things had to work out just perfectly. Like, Dr. Erlin's child had to have been taken away and murdered in order for him to even come down to Earth and, you know, start this whole thing to begin with as a revenge plot. And then, you know, the plague had to break out. And then Dr. Erlin had to figure out that lunars are immune. So then he had to start a draft. But now he knew that he was looking for a cyborg. So then he was like, yeah, cyborg draft. That makes perfect sense. Let's just start doing cyborg drafts so that I can find my cyborg lunar princess. And honestly, like, I get that, you know, there was a lot of documentation, kind of, as to, you know, where Princess Selene was. And the fact that she was in the Eastern Commonwealth or whatever. But that is a lot of shit and hoops that you have to jump through in order to, like, just even get to Cinder. And then Cinder's sister has to die. And then Cinder has to have been given away to an evil family that just puts her up for the draft. So a lot of things have to work in your favor in order for us to figure out that Princess Selene was Cinder. And then through all of that, still, Dr. Erlin waits till the last freaking second to say, you're a lunar, yes, but also, you're the long-lost princess. But now you're trapped in this cell. So, like, here's a bunch of, like, new toys, like a new hand and a new foot to get you out of the cell and for you to start a revolution. Hopefully you step up. I can't with him. And I just, you know what's really funny to me, though? Like, with the draft and whatnot and everything like that, what's really funny to me the whole time is at the beginning of the book, whenever we find out, you know, Cinder's been sent for the draft, and, you know, we see Dr. Erlin, he's with the male, and then the nurse comes in and is like, oh yeah, we have a female for you. And he's like, yes, yes, yes. And then the nurse is literally like, you get so interested in the young girls. The nurse totally thinks he is a pedophile. Like, totally. And I understand it. To be honest, had I not read this book before, I would also think that he was a pedophile. I'd like to think that 2015 me thought that he was a pedophile, because that's really freaking creepy. And it's just like the fact that he doesn't even flinch at that. He's like, oh yeah, I just like them because they have a better chance of surviving the plague, which don't know how that's possible, but he's like, yeah, no, it's totally cool. I can't. He's also just such a creep. I just don't like him. So, okay. In my notes, I wrote down my favorite interaction between Dr. Erlen and Cinder. And it's this part where he's asking her questions about her surgery as a cyborg or whatnot. And he's like, oh yeah, what do you remember? And she's like, I don't know. I don't actually remember anything from before the surgery. And he's like, the cybernetic operation. And she's like, no, the sex change operation. And then she has to like clarify that she's joking. I think that just shows how sarcastic and snarky and just super witty Cinder is. I just think she's a freaking hoot to be around. I just love her. And the fact that she is a princess and she's a princess and she's also so humble about it. And she also doesn't want to like use her powers for evil. And I think that's one thing that like totally like just separates her and Lavanna from each other. Because Cinder doesn't want to manipulate people. Cinder thinks that people should see who she is and they should appreciate her for that, or she doesn't want to be friends with you. And I love that so much. And I hate Lavanna with every ounce of me. I will say, whenever Lavanna saw Cinder in the crowd and was like, I see you, bitch. And I was like, ah! Like every part of me was like screaming. I was like, Cinder, get out of here. And she didn't. And she stayed. And she went inside the freaking castle. So I can't. The whole Princess Lean, you know, like understanding that she was Princess Lean, I saw it coming mainly because I had read the book series before. Here's why I love rereading books, because I saw the little foreshadowing bit that Marissa like sprinkled in. Whenever Cinder's fixing Nancy and she overhears like the Selene research that he's going on about, or that the Nancy's going on about. And I'm like, my God, that's you. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, it's so interesting. And she mentions it too. And I just love it so much. I don't know. That's all I have to say about that part. There's a couple things that I want to talk about before I actually get into the ball, because there's so much stuff I have written down. Oh my god, I can't even believe I almost forgot this. Aiko. I love Aiko so much. I have in big bolded letters, I love her so much. She is my favorite. She is a true OG, and she did not deserve to be destroyed by Andre or Adri. I love Aiko's little like programming error where like she attempts to be more human, is like, oh yeah, I'm practicing my sarcasm. I just think she's so adorable, and she just wants to be human. Like, she wants to be a humanoid person. She wants to be Cinder's best friend. Well, I mean, she is Cinder's best friend, but she like wants to be her friend like in the flesh. Like, I love her so much, and everything Aiko does warms my cold tiny heart to pieces. Especially whenever she wears the ribbon that Peony gives her. And she just has it around her wrist. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then she's even wearing it around her wrist, like, whenever, like, she gets dismantled by Adri. And I'm like, I'm gonna cry. Every part of me wants to cry. Oh, I love her so much. I love Aiko so much. She's such a sweetheart. And she always tries to do what's best for Cinder. And she just, I mean, obviously there's some things that she doesn't understand because she's an android. So there's some things that she just can't comprehend. But it never really feels like Aiko is solely an android. And, you know, going into Aiko getting destroyed, I'm trying to find the words to describe Audrey without saying, you know what? No, she's Audrey. She's a heinous bitch. I was trying to figure out a nicer way to say that. But there's no nice way to say heinous bitch. I'm sorry. There's not. She's awful. She's a terrible human being. And that's why I don't get the whole, you know, cyborg versus human. Who is the most human? Like, Audrey's not human. I'm pretty sure she's a freaking demon. I'm pretty sure she's evil to the freaking core. She's rotten. I don't like her. There's a lot of stuff that Audrey does I don't fully understand. I don't understand. Like, it didn't make sense for her to literally kill off the android. Like, just, I get that she was, like, selling it off her part, but, like, that still doesn't make sense because you still, like, there's still someone to help around the house. That's one extra hand around the house that you don't have to do anything for. So it was really just a power move for Cinder. And there was a lot of power moves for Cinder that like made no sense whatsoever, except for being a power move. Like taking Cinder's foot whenever Cinder's being like disrespectful. And I put that in quotation marks because Cinder just saying like, hey, like I'm a human too. I deserve rights. And Audrey's like, ew, don't disrespect me. You have no rights. And I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. So like whenever she takes her foot, thinking about this from Audrey's point of view, right? I don't like to think about it from Audrey's point of view, but I'm going to. So you want Cinder to go off to work. She's a mechanic. She's kind of on her feet like all day. And then you want her to come back and you want her to like clean your house or whatever, right? How is she supposed to do that without a foot? You feel me? Like, I get that it was a power move, but it's going to take longer for her to do her job. It's going to take longer for her to do her chores. It's going to take longer for her to do everything because she's having to like hobble around. So logistically, from Audrey's, like, I get that it was a whole power move, like a dominance thing, but like, and I get that it was her just being like straight up abusive, like mind effing her, but it's like, it doesn't make any sense. And also, I don't understand Audrey, and I don't understand why she's actually abusive to Cinder. I get it that your husband died and that you think it's because he got the plague in Europe, but like, you have no evidence of that, like none whatsoever. Also, one thing I wasn't saying is that she's like actually abusive. Like whenever she like literally tried to slap Cinder in the face with the ball, I was like, holy shiz, what? I feel like Cinder could probably handle it a lot more if Audrey was just like physically abusive than if she was like emotionally abusive, because it's like, I bet Cinder could turn off pain receptors in her brain. So I guess if I had to choose, which I don't know why I'm trying to choose, I don't know why I'm trying to justify which one is better. Abuse is not okay. If you are getting abused by anyone, do not take that crap. Please leave. Call one of the many hotlines for domestic abuse or parental abuse. So I'm not trying to justify abuse, but I'm just saying, like, if Cinder had a choice, I'm just kind of trying to debate whether Cinder would rather choose to be emotionally abused or physically abused. Because I think that Cinder could probably handle the physical abuse, because I think that her cyborg brain, it can just shut off, right? So now what I'm thinking is maybe Audrey was physically abusive, like, in her past, you know? And was like beating her up, and then Cinder was like, oh, well, I'm a cyborg, so I can just turn that shiz off. And then that's when Audrey started with the emotional stuff. So I think it's very clear that I don't like Audrey. So with all of that stuff talked about, I'm now going to get into the ball. I loved that Cinder wasn't even planning to go to the ball, that she was using the ball as her ruse so that she could escape with Aiko and take the car that she spent so much money on, and then just freaking annihilated that car, just ran straight into a tree. And I'm like, she has all the cyborg stuff, she can't dodge a tree. And then you didn't think to fix the brakes? The one main important thing about a vehicle, the brakes. You have all the cyborg info about cars, and you don't know that the brakes are probably the most important part of the car. So Cinder has some flaws. I'm not saying that she's perfect, but anyways, going to the ball. I like that she only went to the ball to go help Kai. I like that she liked Kai enough to go tell him, hey, the queen's gonna kill you, so maybe don't marry her. So I like that she was like, dude, it's like literally suicide. And she only knew that because of the chick in the satellite. I don't even know how to. Satellite girl's like, please, like, go save him. And she's like, Cinder's like, you know what? Maybe I should. She's like, I don't even have a ball, or I don't even have a gown. And like, literally, the satellite girl's like, you know, like, he's gonna actually die. She's gonna kill him. And then I like that it took so long for Cinder to figure out like what the girl in the satellite was saying. And I was like, just get her to calm down. And also, I would not want to be around Cinder if I was having an emotional breakdown, because she just like screams at the hacker to like stop crying, which, I mean, you know, facts, but like, you gotta be a little nicer. So let's see, I just want to talk about the fun stuff first, and then I'll talk about all the bad stuff that I didn't like. We ended on so much bad stuff, so why not talk about the good first? You know, put a nice taste in my mouth before I give you the awful aftertaste, you feel me? Oh, Kai putting Cinder's name on the list as his personal guest and being like, oh, she might show up, and just having that little like hope, like holding out hope. And I was like, Kai, I love you so much. I love you so much. And of course, like, Cinder's like trying to like sneak around and be like, oh yeah, I'm just like trying to tell Kai that he's going to get killed. And then the guy's like, I'm sorry, are you on the list? And she's like, everyone's on the list. And he's like, yeah, we're just trying to make sure that you're actually a citizen here. And she's like, okay. And he's like, oh, you are a personal guest. Let me introduce you. And I was like, if a girl is telling you, no, please do not introduce me, I don't get why there's this whole like debate. Like, if she doesn't want to be introduced, why does she have to be introduced? You feel me? But then she like goes up and she's like getting introduced and she's like all raggedy and gross and she has oil stains on her hands and her dress is a mess and all that stuff. And then, you know, she comes down, she makes her way down to Kai, and then, you know, he stops her from getting abused, and then he takes her dancing and whatnot, and is like, and then no one else is dancing. He's like, everyone, let's dance. It's a time for celebration. And then, like, him going, you don't know how to dance, do you? And honestly, I don't think that dancing is, like all that big of a deal in the Commonwealth. But then she plays it off, and she's like, I'm a mechanic. I'm sorry. Being a mechanic is no excuse to not know how to dance, Cinder. There are mechanics that know how to dance. So you just going like, oh, I'm a mechanic, so mechanics don't know how to dance. I'm like, that's not a valid point, Cinder, like at all. Some mechanic out there is offended at the notion that you think that mechanics can't dance. So I don't, whatever. And then as they're dancing, she's like, you need to like not marry Lavanna. And he's like, what? And she's like, oh, no, it's not because I want to marry you. It's because Lavanna wants to kill you. And he's like, oh, really? That's so disappointing. But also I need to because my country and I have duties. And I'm like, I need to read a book where people don't have duties. People don't have honor. People, you know, don't think about the greater good, you know, stuff like that. I just need to read books like that because I swear if I hear one more person saying, but my duty, I'm going to lose my freaking mind. So suggest a book to me where there is no honor and no duty involved. Please do that. So, and then, you know, even though he's like, I have duties to my country, Cinder then tries to totally ruin the marriage and say like, but you love me. You can't marry her. She's not going to want to marry you once she figures out that we are in love. And Lavanna's like, oh, you didn't know that. You didn't know that lunars are polyamorous? I was like, of course they are. Of course that's what you guys are. I don't like y'all. There's nothing wrong with being polyamorous, but just in this story, it doesn't work for me. Sorry. I just don't like Lavanna like, at all. And so now that we did all the like fun, cutesy stuff, now we get to talk about the evil, awful stuff. Like the fact that, you know, lunars are polyamorous, so Cinder confessing the prince's love for her just totally backfired and didn't work at all. And so that was fun. And then, okay, Lavanna calls out Cinder in front of everyone, is like, you're a lunar. Almost husband, I can't believe you would invite a lunar to your ball. And he's like, she's not a lunar. And Lavanna's like, yeah, she's a shell, a nasty little shell. Blah, 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 blah. And then instead of denying things, instead of being like, no, I don't remember ever being lunar. I'm a cyborg. I'm a citizen of the Commonwealth. I don't remember anything. Cinder, like, stands up for, like, an entire subgroup, an entire race of people, and is like, you know what? Screw you, Lavanna. I left because my life was being threatened. And I was like, dude, you are so freaking baller. What a freaking badass. Look, Cinder does so much stuff at this ball that just makes me love her even more. I don't truly know how to respond to her. I love Cinder so much. She's amazing. She so calls Lavanna out for literally just mass genocide. And that's just, at this point, Cinder doesn't know that she's a princess, obviously. She just knows that she's a lunar. And so her calling out Lavanna for mass genocide of a people that she doesn't even know, and then she ends up being their rightful queen, flabbergasted. Honestly, mind blown. Honestly, freaking mint. I love her. On the flip side, though, her whole, it really is an illusion. You are not beautiful. I'm like, look, dude, like, you're a total badass, but, like, can you choose your battles? Because, you know, calling out someone for being ugly when literally every single time they've seen you, they have said that they want to kill you, not a good idea. Not the best idea. And then Lavanna's like, oh yeah, you want to call me ugly, dude? Let me just shoot you. Let me just have you shoot yourself. And I'm like, what? Can you do that? I mean, obviously you can't, but you're about to. And then Kai's like, no, 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 don't shoot her. Don't, she's my citizen. Instead of being like, but I'm in love with her. And I'm just like, this entire ball scene, I was like, literally just, I was honestly dying. This ball scene made me swoon. This ball scene made me gasp. This ball scene made me cry a little bit. This ball scene made me want to die. This ball scene also made me insanely proud. So I just, I can't. So Cinder, you know, obviously dodges the bullet because she has the, like, the chip in the back of her and she has the cyborg brain or whatever. And, you know, she manages to do that. And that's awesome. And you think, like, all is well. Kai's gonna save her. Kai's gonna make sure that she doesn't get, like, killed or anything. And then Lavanna's like, you have a choice. Your country or the love of your life. And Cinder's like, don't choose me. Choose your country. And then, you know, he chooses his country. But he's so, like, apologetic for it. And she's like, I was not worth it. And then she ends up escaping anyway. Well, almost escaping. She then falls down the stairs and loses a foot and then uses her glamour on accident. And then everything goes to shit because then Kai's like, I can't believe you would use your glamour on me. You're even more hard to look at than she is. And I was like, what? No trust? No trust in this relationship. I get that you just met her, but not even an ounce of trust. Not even just a little tiny bit. So, I mean, we end off and Cinder's in a jail cell. And all hope is lost for our young heroine. And yet, Dr. Erland pops in and is like, dude, you are a queen. Well, technically the long-lost princess, but she is a queen because the loss and, you know, everything. But technically, you are the queen. And Cinder's like, you know what? I'll be ready. I'm gonna fight. And so, for my final overview of this book, Cinder doesn't escape in this book, which kind of makes me a little sad because I just wanted her to escape and, you know, then say all the, like, cute little, like, I'm ready to take my place among the moon people. But, you know, her not escaping, though, means that there's going to be, like, an even bigger, like, action sequence, like, you know, for whenever she does escape in the next book. And I guess, like, you know, I could be sad that there wasn't, like, an escape in this book, but I'm also extremely glad because that means that we're going to have a totally killer one in the next book. So I'm really excited about it. So that's all I have to say about this book. Ah, I love it. Okay, whatever. So with that said, that is the end of this book talk. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I did create a new Instagram account for my podcast. It is ITS.a book thing. And then my Twitter is still the same. It's Mikayla_101. That's MKAYLA_101. And that's all I have for today. And I can't wait to get out of this hot car because this car is kind of sweltering. So thank you so much for listening. Bye.